Welcome to the Half Hour Happy Hour. Your chance to sit back, have a drink, and listen to some insightful musings, funny anecdotes, the occasional rant, and an all-too-frequent Bruce Willis reference. Join Jen, Justin, and Jer in hoisting a beverage or three, picking apart topics of the day and explaining how things came to be the way they are. It's one part educational, one part bacchanal, best served over ice with a healthy dose of wit and a twist of cynicism.
Hey kids, it's Jen, and I am joined by Jer and Justin, as always. And I made the mistake of asking the group before we started of what we should talk about. And here's what we have. We've got Hero Bacon from Earthquake Pigs. We've got PETA Porn. The alliteration is fun, but get past that and your mind's going to go nuts. And of course, we've got Pirates, which is one of my favorite topics. So avast! It'd be another episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour. Beers.
I'm proud to say that this is our first official beer. We got donated some beer.
Woo! Free beer!
We finally have some enablers. But no, our good friend Vance, who I used to play Warcraft with him back in the day, and he's stuck around. He's a cool guy. But he lives around the Mississippi, Louisiana area, so he sent us a sampling of some of the breweries there. We got a lot from Lazy Magnolia, and then the one that I am drinking is from Heinerbrau. It's a Marzen, and as I mentioned last week, I think it was, I love a good Marzen, and this one is no exception. I mean, this one is extremely good.
It's darker than most, you see.
It is pretty dark. It's got a very nice, amber color, and it's extremely tasty. I want to take a drink right now, but I need to keep talking. the bottle is kind of cool because it gives a little bit of history. Marzen comes from the German word march, and the southern German monks used to call it Das Flüssig Brot, which means liquid bread, because it's got kind of a bready taste to it. So
nice.
But yeah.
Your German is awesome.
All I know is you have to say it angry like that.
How does the Marzen with the German in your mouth affect the mouthfeel?
It's got a nice angry taste. I can feel it. Feel it in my mouth.
I love it when it gets angry in your mouth.
And a little bit yeasty.
Oh, no. Too far.
Too far. So what do you got over there, Jen?
I've got a big old I Love Vance Lazy Magnolia beer. And it's interesting because it actually says that the Lazy Magnolia uses the water from the Jordan, J-O-U-R-D-A-N, river, which has been long established for awesome water for your whiskey.
Mm. Okay.
So they're making this beer out of that. So I'm a fan right away. If there's anything I love more than beer, it might be whiskey. Maybe. Anyway, so this is the Lazy Magnolia Southern Pecan, and it is actually uses whole roasted pecans in the recipe, and you can smell it, and you can taste it, and it's awesome. It's like a rich brown, a lot of lacing for such a small head, but but it is really good, and it's got a really warm flavor. Jer tried to sip, and he was like, it tastes really malty. It's malty, but it has the nut on top of it, so it's not as malty. I think the nut kind of... it's got the nut on top, averages out the bitterness, syrupy bitterness.
Right.
Nuts in your mouth. There you go, folks. Just
got to keep mouth shut.
Else let nuts fly in. I'm going to take a big mouthful of nut right now. Jer... what are you drinking over there?
Covington Brew House, Bayou Bach. It's lovely. It's not nearly as interesting as either of the two of yours, but it's a solid, it's just a solid beer. It's well-balanced, good flavor, little malty, hops are more floral than bitter. Across the board, I really like it.
Cool. So it sounds like the Louisiana, Mississippi area is doing pretty good on beer so far.
Yeah.
We're all fans of what we got. So let's put them up, take a drink.
To Vance.
Cheers. To Vance.
To Vance.
So, I don't know about you guys, but it has been a hilarious news week for me. Just most of the stuff that I saw was interesting, mostly interesting, but just downright funny. For example, scientists have developed a computer algorithm to predict the formation of new super hard materials. My only question is, how do they know when I'm watching something with Shudae in it?
Because it goes back to that headband remote control thing we had a couple.
Okay, yeah.
Good Lord.
But no, apparently it's, the whole material science, I never really got too much into material science. It's, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just never really appealed to me. But basically, they're they're always trying to find new harder materials for drilling and things like that. you know, currently diamond is the hardest, and they look for other stuff. So they've come up with, you know, computer models to try and predict these things. And this article, really, like I said, you know, I'm not really into material science. It's mostly just comedic value. Some of the lines in here. The optimization of hardness is a successful proof of principle example. They've optimized their hardness. And, you know, their traditional trial and error approach to search for new materials usually involves a lot of pain and little gain. So it's very good. They've got new algorithms to do it for them.
Yeah.
So
it's too easy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What can you follow up on super hard materials with?
Bill Murray.
Okay.
I'm curious.
No, I Bill Murray, because whenever something's remotely inappropriate, you can follow it up with Bill Murray. And in this case, it happens to be relevant in that they're bringing fucking Ghostbusters back. Oops. Sorry.
That's okay.
It was appropriate. Ghostbusters it's motherfucking 3, right? Ghostbusters. Yeah. No, not Ghostbusters 3. They're re-releasing the original Ghostbusters in select theaters, 500 theaters across the U.S., to be played for the three Thursdays up to Halloween. Something like that. Check your dates, your local dates. And go support the hell out of this, because they're hoping that this will be the big push to get Murray, who is the last one standing, not signed on for Ghostbusters 3, so that... Be a giant nerd, be a big fan, go see Ghostbusters in the theater. And great news, it is not in 3D.
And I was going to ask, they're re-releasing it. Is their additional like vocal track is when they blow up the containment thing, is Egon going to go, no! Like, is that going to happen? No, or is it going to be the traditional, pure Ghostbusters that we all know and love? I hope
so too. But if they mess it up, I still want to go see it. And I still want to go see Ghostbusters 3, which we all know is going to be horrendous.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, for realsies.
After 2.
But I touched a Ghostbuster.
Yep.
I did once.
Touched a Ghostbuster.
In an inappropriate spot.
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
When he released his Crystal Head Vodka. Mm-hmm.
We got vodka and we touched a Ghostbuster. Yep. On the very same day. It was amazing. Yep. Cool. I had him sign a vodka bottle out to my brother-in-law. It's too Stay Puffed. Because he's a fluffy white dude. True story.
Cool.
He might hate me for that. I'm not sure. So yeah, Ghostbusters being re-released. I'm very excited about that. Raise your hand if you're in.
In.
I'm in.
Oh, that's everybody.
Yep.
Yeah, raising your hand on a podcast.
You guys both made noise anyway.
We had
so.
To. Yep.
Give the old affirmative.
But you both still raised your hands too.
Well.
Love it. Moving on. Jerry, what do you got?
Pirate Party wins seats in Berlin elections.
Woo, pirates.
8.5%.
That's all it took?
No, that was like how many seats they took over.
Oh, okay.
Like they actually ousted an entire Democratic political party.
Nice. Yeah, you know, I've been reading about that, and I'm very excited to see a new political party start to get traction.
Right. Now, if we can bring it here.
Yeah.
I am so behind a pirate party.
Yeah, that'll never
I'm
happen.
Behind any other party here.
Anything. Yeah.
Anything.
Right.
That doesn't take away votes from the candidate that I like, which is usually, or rather that I dislike the least. There we go.
I want to vote for the beer party.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of beer party.
Beer party.
The White House is brewing its own beer.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yep.
That was like a presidential command, wasn't it?
You know, Obama.
because
the story like started talking about after he took down Osama bin Laden that he did this, so I had to make sure I got my names right. But anyway, so you know, after that happened, he decided to, you know, set up a brewing operation inside the White House. This is the first time there's ever been a brewing operation in the White House, and he's making White House honey ale.
Nice.
And sign us up.
In limited batches, yeah. So, you know.
First fans, next, Mr. President.
We would
Mr.
love
President.
A mm-hmm. presidential invite to come and drink your beer.
Absolutely.
And plug it and give you some props.
We will broadcast live from the White House.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. The alternative, I'd be happy to have him ship us some. You
yeah,
know,
that,
you know,
no, that works
at plan B.
Sure. Yeah. Either way, but we get free airfare out of it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Air Force One.
Yep. That'd be nice.
What's up, guys? So that was up? A little awkward. Well, I'm going to go back to the Pirates thing if you guys are just staring at me expecting something.
Go back to the Pirates thing.
We were lied to.
How so?
By Disney. Can you believe that?
No.
It's true.
No. Say it ain't so. They took creative license with some project?
Yeah, they haven't manipulated culture at all. Right. Well, what?
They've manipulated pirate culture, which is feels fairly strong about this as well. So yeah, pirates did not talk like idiots. Did you know that? It's likely that they talked. Okay. Speaking of idiots. It's likely that they talked like sailors. Can you believe that? Not like idiots that made up their complete own dialect and lingo, but they would have talked like the merchant sailors that sailed the seas that they interacted with. That
makes sense.
Sure.
Right. So Disney in the 1950s made this little Treasure Island movie you may have heard of. Mm-hmm. And it was starring Long John Silver, who spoke like a moron with the errors and the shite. And
shiver me timbers.
Oh, Jesus.
Blow the man down. Yo ho ho.
One more. Come on.
No.
They really did keel haul, though, right? That wasn't just a.
Disney lied to us. And it's just messed up my perception of pirates. And I don't know how I'm going to cope with this. All right, I'm over it. What else you got?
Actually, did you know in the original Pinocchio? The cricket gets crushed almost immediately.
Does he really?
Yeah. I'm your conscience.
Yeah, he's like, you shouldn't do that, culture. No.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Disney has a propensity.
Much more believable.
So, not only did I crush my Jiminy Cricket a very long time ago, but I can't stand when bastards whistle. True story.
How about...
nuts.
Who is the least likely group to start a porn site?
Ooh. Disney? I can have fun with this one. Uh-huh. Well, considering the XXX conversation last time.
Right.
Mormons.
Mormons.
PETA. People against the ethical treatment, or people for the ethical treatment.
I want to join that organization, the one that's against.
So yes, they're starting a porn site. Well, they've been doing a series of things where they have famous actresses naked,
yeah,
to get people to the website.
Right
now they're going to start a porn site that does fundamentally the same thing.
Makes sense.
Come for the porn, stay for the snuff films of animals.
No, and that is
this
what they're
is
gonna
really
do.
The target
they're
audience
gonna, yeah. No, they're gonna, yeah, and they're gonna show like graphic like animal torture videos.
We're gonna create a society of sociopaths.
No. Yes.
And
Funk's like, no, it's not gonna happen, everybody's robots. And Jared's like, yeah, from the human side. No. Yeah, that's exactly what's gonna happen. Just,
well, you know, the people who get on board with that kind of thing are maybe a lost cause already. But I as far as who's going to create a porn site, PETA, fur and meat, I mean, is at the top of the list for me. It's I want to get in on designing that website. I really, really do.
There would be more horrible puns in the first
meat
three.
Is murder.
And murder is my penis, Captain Hammer.
Picture two women rolling around in red paint.
Right. So
this is not doing it for me.
Speaking of, I guess meat and porn sites. I mean, not really. But,
a tough segue, I grant. Yeah,
no, it's so fish shrinkage is being probed in a lab. Fish shrinkage is being probed in a lab.
That's going to be the first film.
No, they're doing.
It could be a porn and a statement against scientific research on animals at the same time.
Yes, it could.
Matter of fact, like tone of voice, look in your face that you're just like, absolutely, yes, that's a great idea. Let's continue.
No, this is actually a very serious issue, the fish shrinkage. So they're doing studies that are showing that, you know, commercial fishing stocks, the fish are selectively breeding smaller. And the reason is obviously when you're doing commercial fishing, you want the largest fish. Mm-hmm. The problem is the largest fish just so happen to be the older females who are most efficient at restocking the population. So they're, you know, evolution, this is evolution at work. They're breeding for smaller fish. So it's, our food supplies are going to start diminishing. So they're trying to figure out, the article says they've already shown effects. So they're going to do some more experiments on, figuring out what the actual impact on this is. Again, fish shrinkage probed in lab. That was
brilliant.
What drew my eye. So to speak.
Yeah, my first thought is, well, the water's cold.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Duh.
But probing isn't going to help. I mean, maybe 1 in 10, but...
Going to have the opposite effect on the other ones.
I'm sorry I sneezed. I couldn't stop it. I hurt my head trying. Is, like, the front of my skull cap still there?
Yep, it's still inside the fox hat.
Okay.
So let's
this get this fox hat just saved my life. I also sneezed on my iPad.
You need a splash guard on it.
It has a screen protector. It's all good.
So it may not seem like we need one, but let's get another beer. Take a break.
And a tissue.
So we're going to get rebearded and we'll be right back.
So I'm going to take this lovely restful moment in between segments while the boys go fetch me a nice cold beer, sprawl out on the couch, and tell you a little bit about more where you can find me, more Jen, because everybody needs, all right, fine, you can find them too, Jer, Justin, and Jen all together on thehalfhourhappyhour.com, facebook.com/thehalfhourhappyhour, or find us on Twitter if you have mad ADD at thehhhh. So thanks for listening, guys. And my beer arrives, so back to the show.
So we're back. We have more beer. I don't want to kill the rebearded bit, but no, we're that. But we have a we love stories about the brain, and Jared's got a really cool story about the brain. He showed us a video, and it's pretty mind blowing, for lack of a better word,
so to speak.
So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the title that caught my eye was Scientists Turn Brain's Visual Memories into a Mind-Blowing Video. And these scientists have actually recorded the individual neurons firing of the occipital lobe. And there's a lot more to it, and I'm not going to go into all that crap.
Right.
But what they did was essentially record how the brain functions when it's recording visual stimuli. They then gave that to a computer, set up an algorithm that tried to pair up the different video clips
right.
with the different brain
oh,
stuff.
Okay.
And so then the computer got to pick a new set of videos that it felt it might be able to get them to.
Okay. And that's what the video, what we were talking about when we were watching the video, that's what probably what it was.
Right. That was the culmination of all of that, kind of it winnowing down
right.
more and more features.
Okay.
That it knows that if these neurons fire, this is what's probably happening.
Being seen, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So, and like you mentioned when you were watching the video, you could see how it was cycling through faces.
Right.
Which is just intriguing as all hell. But they say you'll be able to record your dreams. You'll be able to, honestly, best lie detector ever.
Right. Yeah.
No, I wasn't thinking. There. Yeah. Shit.
Well, this is, I read parts, a few articles related to this, and it's all being done with functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI.
Right.
Which is, the next, MRI was revolutionary. fMRI is leaps and bounds. Like, it lets you see where the blood is actually in the brain, so you can see literally what is happening in the brain.
Right.
And that technology, once it's built out, will literally let you visualize person's thoughts. Like, it's gonna lay it out as an open book.
Absolutely.
It's gonna be pretty impressive when it happens. So.
Yeah, privacy issues.
Yeah, okay,
so three problems. Number one, privacy issues. Like, that was the first thing that I thought of, because the government will find a way to exploit this.
Well, you still have to.
Okay, hold on. So that's problem number one.
Go lay down in the machine. It's not, they can't just beam a laser into your head and figure out what you're thinking.
Problem number two.
That we know of.
Yeah.
Problem number two. I don't want to know. Like, I don't ever want to see projected outside of my skull what goes on inside of my skull. And we talked a second for the commercial break. Sounds so professional.
Yeah.
We spoke during our commercial break, during our conference, and I don't know. No, I don't want to see my dreams. And then the more I think about it, I don't want to see my thoughts. Yeah. I don't want to see how I perceive. Okay, so now you say the lie detector thing. That is assuming that our memories are infallible, which we have proven scientifically over and over and over again that they're not.
Right.
So all three of us could be remembering this very moment completely differently.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you guys don't see that giant pink elephant in the corner of the room doesn't mean that I don't wholeheartedly believe that it's there and trying to feed me more beer.
Yeah. Well, the problem with recollection is we've got this consciousness that gets in the way. Right. And you're actually recording every bit, but what you can actually dredge up is limited. And so hypnotic states have shown that you've got a lot more detailed memory than you ever knew you had. You just can't get to it.
Right, because its level of importance is buried and it's not going to pop up.
Right. It's like the new cameras.
It's like Google. The brain is a big reference engine.
Yeah.
And if something is low on the relevance, it doesn't show up on the first page. It's kind of how the brain works.
That's how your brain works.
That's how everybody's brain works.
There's a new camera system that it snaps the picture and it records every bit of data in clarity. There is no focal point.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And so it lets you switch the focus
later on. You can change the focus later on in post. But otherwise, it records everything as it was perfectly.
That's pretty awesome.
That's creepy. That's
awesome. Yeah. You'd actually be able to zoom with a...
infinitely.
Yeah, virtually, yeah.
Theoretically, infinitely, yeah.
Yeah.
But you then, by taking a photo... So, for example, if I stood on one side of my neighborhood and snapped a picture... I could, by changing the focal point, take a walk through my own neighborhood?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Yes. Yep. And it would keep it all in focus for you.
Think of all the scary shit that you would notice going around your life that you never wanted to know was there.
Which is why we have a consciousness to block a lot of it out.
Yeah.
Thank you, consciousness. Have I mentioned how much I love you?
We need a filter.
Yeah, that is true.
Some of us more so than others.
So.
Don't give me that look, Jeremiah.
So I want to talk about Infinite Hero Bacon.
I really want to know about Infinite Hero Bacon.
Infinite Hero Bacon.
From Earthquake Pigs.
Earthquake Pig.
It just has to be a translation problem.
No.
Oh, so, my gosh.
We sat here trying to get... these are four words that should never go together.
So this is the headline that caught my eye. This is from Gizmodo.
Hero Bacon, Earthquake
Pigs. And the headline is, China unlocks Infinite Hero Bacon achievement by cloning Invincible Earthquake Pig. So basically what the story is there's this pig, its name is, and I'm going to take a wild shot in the dark at pronouncing this because it's Chinese, Zhu Jiquang, something like that. Basically translates as strong-willed pig. So this,
you know, there's some like American teenager with that tattooed on her lower back. Right now.
That's a tramp stamp for you right there. Strong-willed pig. Wow. But no. So in 2008, there were earthquakes that hit certain parts of China. This pig survived for a total of 36 days trapped under rubble by eating charcoal and rainwater. Survived 36 days trapped under rubble.
Damn.
His system is clear, dude.
So he's become a national hero in China because he survived this earthquake. And scientists have now cloned him. They've created 6 piglet clones for him. So they are going to create Infinite Hero Bacon. They're going to clone this pig and have genetic duplicates forever and make bacon out of him.
Okay, you know,
Hero Bacon.
We did the show on genetically modified organisms.
Right.
This is what I'm down for.
Exactly.
I want Infinite Hero Bacon.
Yep. That pig is awesome. Clone him and eat him.
Yeah, that I'm fine with.
Yep. Think about it. That's going to be the future.
We're going to clone and eat everything that's awesome.
The best animals out there, we're going to find them and clone them.
Yeah.
This is going to be Super Cow. Every cow you eat is Super Cow.
And what we do is we start a porn site that has videos of us cooking all of these wonderful animals.
Right. If we weren't supposed to eat them, they wouldn't taste good.
Exactly.
So to Infinite Hero Bacon.
You're going to eat Super Cow?
It's okay. It's just a clone of Super Cow.
The real Super Cow lives on the North Pole. Where's Santa?
And if you're a good boy...
Super Cow will fly down here.
And bring you a porterhouse.
This big ribbon on this bloody chunk of meat. And that's the end of the porn. God bless us, everyone.
Now, little Billy, make sure you leave out the garlic mash or Santa or Super Pig won't come. Super Cow, sorry.
Stop.
There's like an entire super team. Super Shrinky Fish. It's kind of like Aquaman.
Right.
Oh. Poor Aquaman.
It's no respect.
It's like Pluto. No, Pluto definitely.
He's downgraded. Yeah, Pluto's way better than Aquaman. Yeah.
Especially now that he has a bunch of neighbors.
Right.
They could totally take Aquaman. What the hell are we talking about?
I don't know. So,
speaking of space stuff.
Sure.
Stuff falling from the sky. Gotta love NASA. So I'm reading this article about this satellite that's like 20 years old, and it's like 12,500 pounds, and it was designed to collect data about the Earth's atmosphere from 91 to 2005 is when this thing kind of crapped out. But of course, if it was, you know, that old, then we were thinking about space debris. Then, you know, this whole what goes up must come down theory is just right. Shenanigans.
Well, we're getting to the point where they have to start seriously considering it when they're trying to break
a space dust buster. Mm-hmm.
There's so much stuff that it's becoming a hazard, like trying to launch, you know, outside the atmosphere.
Well, now
hit
it's
by garbage.
Now the part of the solution is it's falling down.
I think that kind of speaks to the human condition.
Yeah.
Monumentally.
We can disrupt the space around the planet.
We barely even scratched space exploration, but right. We've already got a landfill around ours.
Seriously. We're even leaving shit on the moon.
But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
No. So it's an upper atmosphere research satellite. And NASA knew it was going to fall. But, you know, we don't know where.
Or when.
Or how long it's going to take. Well, then they did this study. They found out that it was accelerating because of solar radiation. So for whatever reason, it created ideal atmospheric conditions for it to haul ass towards Earth. So they were like, oh, it's going to be the beginning of October. No, it already crashed here. The good news is that, you know, if this was a couple days ago and you didn't know it crashed here, your odds of being hit by space debris, 1. And you're expecting some astronomical number, no pun intended. It's 3,200.
Yeah. That's it?
Yes. But, and they were like, don't put hard hats on. This is a much lower risk than things that we accept every day. And it's like,
that's
when I get in my car and buckle my seatbelt, I'm not thinking about, well, shit, I should put my seatbelt on in case space freaking debris hits me.
What's funny is, though, there's a secondary ratio, and it was the likelihood of it killing you on impact. And that was like 1 in 2 trillion. So there's your astronomical number. You may get grazed by the satellite crashing to Earth, but it probably won't kill you.
Great.
Well, of course,
you'd have to be really unlucky.
They interpreted that most of it was going to burn up in atmosphere, but like people from Canada to Florida were seeing this thing. And they were like, they're talking about its death plunge will be dramatic and creating visible light. Like death plunge was in National Geographic, which kind of cracked me up. But my favorite quote is that it was designed well before scientists started to worry about space debris.
That's good.
Wasn't that one of like the very first principles? Like for every reaction, there's an opposite and equal reaction. Mm-hmm. So what goes up is going to eventually crash down into the Earth.
It's the age old principle. Fuck it. That's future Justin's problem. Like that guy deal with it.
Yep. Why worry about something today when your grandkids can worry about it?
Grandkids? This was 20 years ago.
I want to
know. Can you imagine all the crazy shit that we've tried since then that's going to blow up in our face?
Yeah.
Pun intended.
We have radioactive shit up there now.
Yeah. I want to know, you know, the statistic for, you know, its odds of killing you, not killing you, is like 1 in 1 trillion, something like that. What classifies as not killing you? Because there's a broad range of states of being where I am perfectly healthy and I am not dead, and not all of them are desirable to be in.
Right. It's kind of like the accidental death and dismemberment clause in your employer's insurance program.
I mean, if we're talking like a pebble's going to bounce off of my head, I'm going to be like, ow, we got smarts. That's one thing.
Well, because at some point they were actually going, look, when it enters the atmosphere, it's going to break apart into 26 distinct units.
Great.
How do you know that?
If you can't tell me where it's going to fall.
But you can tell me it's going to break into 26 pieces.
Well, and the funny thing is, they did have an estimate, a digital footprint of where they thought it would fall. Hang on, let me find the exact latitude and longitude, because it's ridiculous. The debris footprint, would be somewhere between 57 degrees north latitude and 57 degrees south latitude, an area encompassing most of Earth's populated lands. Yeah. Well done, guys.
We've narrowed it down to here.
There's this planet definitely gonna called Earth. It's going to hit somewhere on there. We know that much.
Right.
Well, and disappointingly...
The moon will be fine.
Moon's safe.
Moon is good.
If you're really worried, go there.
It fell in the Pacific Ocean, like, sometime between, like, midnight and 1 a.m. And apparently of the 12,000 original pounds, they only estimated about 1,000 pounds fell into you. So the rest of it burnt up in reentry or bounced off your head as a form of
a
pebble.
That's still a lot just have randomly hurtling to...
Now, imagine... Okay, so you now have 1,000 pounds hurling out of the sky, and thankfully it hits the ocean, but what if it didn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, you know...
Good.
One dude under a space toilet. That's like... A crater, right?
Donnie Darko wasn't that great of a movie, and I don't want to live it.
Word.
So, while we're on the topic of government agencies doing stupid bullshit.
I love stupid bullshit government agent stories.
You know, I brought it up a few times past couple of episodes. You know, government spending is obviously a hot issue right now. So they've recently completed some audits of the Department of Justice and found that their expenditures on conferences was a little extreme. In one conference, for example, they spent $16 on 250 muffins, so, you know, $4,000 on muffins.
$16 a piece.
$16 a muffin. Where do you even find $16 muffins?
More importantly, what is in these muffins?
What is in these muffins? Yeah. But so they did this audit, and they found that for fiscal years 2008 and 2009, the Department of Justice spent $121 million on 10 conferences. So break that down. That's $12 million a conference. They found such things as, you know, there was one conference where they spent $32 on snacks, like Butterfingers, things like this, per person, just to have sitting out. For another conference, they spent $600,000 on event planning services. Just radical, gross overspending. There's a spokeswoman from the Department of Justice that came out and said, well, most of these expenditures happened before we had strict limits on spending. So.
Oh, okay.
Nobody cared, well. So we figured, what the hell? Let's buy the most expensive stuff we can find.
Future DOJ's problem.
Exactly. Let that guy deal with it. I want a $16 muffin right now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
So, needless to say, they will probably be fairly close to the top of the list of, you know, the Senate Oversight Committee making these budget cuts, which that's a whole other topic I could get into. You know, the people that we're putting in charge of cutting the federal budget and other people who are making 3 to 4 times what the average American citizen is making and still saying they're not making enough money. They might not be the best person to be in charge of controlling spending, but until the Pirate Party gets on the ballot, we're kind of screwed.
Seriously, I'm telling you, we're going to found it.
Yep.
Speaking of the past being revisited on the future, in 1906, a little place called Charleston, I think. Yeah. Oh, Charlton. Charlton, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Banned a book, The Diary of Eve by Mark Twain. It had pictures of a naked woman.
Oh, wow.
The Diary of Eve is literally Adam and Eve.
Right.
Eve's diary.
Okay.
Written as kind of a satire. No big deal. But it had an artist that went along with it. There's a couple of pencil drawings in the book that show Eve in all her glory.
Was she wearing fur? Is this going to go on PETA's website?
That would be awesome. Oh. No. And so what's funny is they finally, the city council or whoever, the library's board of trust, just realized that perhaps it would be okay.
Yeah.
In today's age, 105 years later, to go ahead and unban the book.
Right.
And somebody actually found a first edition.
Oh, wow.
That they'd had, apparently. But then they went and bought 2 paperback copies so that they could, you know, put it on the shelves.
Right.
But the first edition's on display there now.
Huh. I'm sure the drawings were highly detailed and graphic and,
believe it or not,
cringeworthy.
No. Exactly. They're even looking back on it now going, how did the people then think this was anything to be banned?
Yeah.
Like, who were these people?
Especially since it's only our sin that causes us shame and our nudity. Right.
And it's a depiction of a, you know,
biblical character.
Biblical character, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say alleged holy occurrence.
Allegedly holy. Spoken like a true douchebag. It's fun.
Agnostic. There's a difference that we won't go into right now.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I stand corrected, being agnostic myself.
So, anything else interesting? You know, I hit the hero pig, and I think that was the high note.
I hit the hero pig.
That was the high note for me.
The high note was hitting the hero. Take some more of your hero bacon. Infinitely.
Infinitely hero bacon.
Hero ham.
Yeah.
It's alliterative.
Yep. Oh,
spiral cut hero ham. Great for Easter.
I want to see it come in a package with like a big Superman logo on the front. Hero pig. Approved.
Right. It's him under a building.
Just holding it up. I'm good. A little piece of charcoal in front of him.
And on the top of the building is you and your family eating his clones. Because this whole thing isn't screwed up enough to begin with. I'm not even joking, though.
Picturing a t-shirt right now.
Bacon would go awesome with my nuts. I kind of want some bacon and beer right now.
Well, you know what else comes from pigs is sausage. And
I don't like where this is going, Funk.
You could probably get invincible sausage from the hero pig, too. Infinite invincible
sausage. Infinite invincible sausage.
Okay, so...
And if it ever shrinks, I'll probe it in the lab. So, I think.
On that note,
we're about done.
There's some things you just realize you're not going to top. And scene.